D&D has come a long way in the past few years. And if you're looking to level up your dice as well as your gameplay, Modern Artifice has you covered. Their artisanal metal dice sets are high-end, look great, and give a satisfying weight to your dice rolls.
Check out their solid metal sets like this Critical Silver Reactor, which even glows in the dark. Or try their hollow frame dice, intricate metal woven into our favorite polyhedral shapes for a truly unique rolling experience.
If you're into something more classic, Modern Artifice has a plethora of colored and themed resin dice sets so you can find the perfect set to match your character.
Feeling adventurous? Try Modern Artifice's mystery dice sets. This grab bag will give you a full set of resin or metal dice. You never know what you'll get, but you know it will always be quality.
So get yourself to modernartifice.com today and use code GOON10 at checkout for 10% off your purchase. That's GOON10 at checkout for 10% off. Modern Artifice, your one-stop shop for magical merchandise and nerdy novelty.
What's this? A letter for me? My good friend Droga, I do hope this finds you well. My days of late have been quite eventful, so my ability to write you has been limited. No doubt you are surrounded with a spirited group of adventurers, standing against the darkness somewhere in the world. Know that no matter how many years pass, I still remember our adventures in that ancient tomb. Oh my god, this must be from Elias. Even then, you are lending your wisdom to anyone who would listen. Still, despite some powerful obstacles, we were victorious. I felt compelled to let you know that you made a strong impact on me. I was still early on my career in the service of Helm, and you modeled well the example of living life as an honorable cleric. I attempted to divine your whereabouts, but alas, all I could see through my granted abilities were mists. Oh, poor Elias. If only I could send a message back in some way. I pray to Helm that you and whoever is in your charge remain safe. In any event, may you always trust in the light and never doubt your purpose. Your friend, Elias, Cleric of Helm. Oh, Elias. This cursed realm keeps me from communing with my god as well. May Helm protect you, and may he protect us all.
Hey Dungeoneers, thanks so much for joining us for another episode of the Strahdcast. If you like what we do here, remember to follow us on YouTube or subscribe via your favorite podcast app to get notified every time we release new episodes. Thanks again, and take your listen with advantage.
When last we left our heroes,
after finishing an oatmeal breakfast, they were surprised by the reappearance of Irina and Dimitri. No longer content to let destiny steer her course, Irina made a stirring plea to travel with our heroes on their adventures, to which they agreed. Setting out for Berez, it did not take long for the swamps to reveal their hidden dangers. After experiencing some of the local fauna, our heroes were ambushed by a squadron of scarecrows standing sentinel in the mists. How will our heroes dispatch the straw men, and what else could the swamps possibly hold in store? Find out now on the Strahdcast.
Close your eyes. Take a deep breath. Shuffle off this mortal coil and transport yourselves to the far, foggy realm of Barovia.
He, like, tilts his gored head back. And he reaches up again, pulls it off his shoulder, and from out of the gourd, like two eye sockets and a mouth explode, and gouts of fire spill forth from its head as it rears back and fastball pitches his head towards the cluster of you. I need everyone to give me a dexterity saving throw.
It's a fucking fireball.
Everybody, everywhere.
So I have a thing. Give me a second. I think I have a thing that might give me advantage on this.
It is it is something you can see. So yes.
Okay, so yes. Dexterity, so 20.
You know what? You keep telling me to use my inspiration, so I'm going to use my inspiration.
Use your inspiration if you got it.
Yeah, that didn't help me.
All right. Smoke them if you got them.
Well,
you got
that's what happens when you bet on black.
Said Campbell, the person who says that now.
I got it.
Okay, what do we have? Sorry, say one more. What was it? One more time?
14 for me.
Right 14. Yeah. What do you got, Olaf?
Fucking 9.
9. What do you
17.
Got? 17.
20.
20. Okay. You see this, like, pumpkin gourd, like, turn through the air with this like, gout of, right out of its mouth, flickering blue and then cooling to orange fire as it tumbles through the air, and it lands right there at Irina's feet.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, no.
And explodes. Everyone, Drogar, you're going to take 22 points of fire. Well, but you would actually still take...
Take 11.
And with the sash. So you are actually going to take 6 points of fire damage.
Oh, yeah.
As is everyone else who is wearing the sashes.
6. Wow.
Okay. Because it is fire damage.
Wow.
Very nice. Yeah.
However, Dimitri and Irina really have to dive out of the way, and you see them get kind of like washed and scored with flame as this pumpkin head explodes.
I think I failed that, so I would take 11.
But you
I had a 9.
What did you get?
A 9.
Oh, I'm so sorry then. So yeah.
11. You take 11, right?
So you would take 22. Yeah, you would take 11 because everyone has resistance to fire damage now. That's his turn. It's going to be Scarecrow number 9, who's going to attack Winnie. 17 to hit.
No.
Shield of Fate!
Yes!
Go!
It goes to, like, run its Freddy Krueger claws, like, right into you, and then boom! It, like, bounces off the
and
shield.
And, like, Winnie looks back and sees Drogar's, like the flames are licking, and he's still holding
it.
Yeah! He's still concentrating on the Shield of Faith.
Great! Great.
Hang on, little one.
That is going to be Dimitri and Irina's turn. Dimitri is going to shoot his hand forward at number 9 right there. It's just like going to grab it on one of its
forearms.
Grab hold of it. He just like shoots his hand forward and it rests there for a moment on the scarecrow's wrists, and then what? Like electricity spirals across its body as shocking grasp.
He grabs it right by the hay meat stick.
Yes, exactly.
Got him right in the hay meat.
Got that. And that's gonna do.
Don't you hate it when they hit you right in the hay meat?
That's gonna do 2d8.
I love that sound of like lightning.
What? Number 6.
That's what lightning sounds like. Wah, wah.
You know what? It does sound like that. Don't make fun of me. 7 points, and it can't take reaction, so... Oh, but there's another one right there. Shoot. Never mind, my plan is foiled. All right, that's Dimitri's turn. Arena.
Your plan is Dimitri, or your plan is a bad guy? Which plan is foiled?
My plan is Dimitri.
Damn it.
My plan to defeat myself.
I forgot there was another one right there.
Don't you hate it when the DM plays against himself?
My life is complicated. Okay, Arena's going to go.
Yeah.
She takes a few steps back, like, righting herself from the gourd exploding. And you can see, like, her sleeves are a little tattered. A couple of cinders she, like, bats away. And then whirls her head back around, her braid, like, spinning in the wind. She refocuses and sets herself and pulls a javelin off, of, like, from out of her sling across her back. She's gonna huck one right at the guy on the horse.
Come on, baby girl.
You fucked that pumpkin head up.
Oh, that's gonna hit. Great. She chucks a javelin and it impacts in the scarecrow's chest as it sits atop a horse. And it just stands there unmoving. We are back to the top of the order, Olaf. A couple of scarecrows, and then Winnie, you're back up.
Good throw, Irina.
Thank you, I've been practicing.
As like the pumpkin dude is like, ow!
So he's gonna turn and just rip some more shots off that horse motherfucker. I'm going to have to take this at disadvantage, right? With the people around me?
Yes, because there are other enemies within.
I think I'm just going to bite the bullet. Like, I think the biggest threat is that dude on a horse, so I'm just going to let these other dudes attack me, and I'm going to focus on that thing.
Okay.
So I'm going to do another bursting shot.
Based on how you just, like, embodied Irina, I now canonically think she's played by Annie Murphy.
Annie Murphy?
From Schitt's Creek.
Ah, la la la, la la la, a little bit Irina.
she would do a good job.
She would. I think it makes a lot of sense.
A little bit Irina.
The way you were just like, thank you, I've been practicing. Like, that's such Annie Murphy just then.
Oh my god, Drogara. Drogara.
Ew, Drogar.
Okay, so first shot is a dirty 20.
That'll hit.
That's with my bursting shot.
That'll play.
4 points, force damage to anyone within 10 feet.
Him and the horse, yep.
That is going to be...
And the horse he rode in on.
10 points. 10 points of radiant damage for the bow shot.
Great.
I've been through the...
And then I'm going to shoot again.
Horse with no name. If fire away. Good to get out of the mud.
That is a 24 to hit.
That'll do it.
And that is 11 points of radiant damage.
Uh-huh.
And that'll end my turn. And then, that's it. I'm just going to curse under my breath.
It's the Berserker way.
Sangzor.
Great. Okay, the Scarecrow's back up. Number 7. Where are you?
Right there in between Winnie and Dimitri.
Is really having a rough go of it here. That's going to hit again. They're just, I think at this point now, they're like starting to pile on top of him. You know, he like shocking grasped that one, but he couldn't quite get away. And so then the one behind him like throws a claw over. So he's starting to get overwhelmed. Number 4 is going to move up. He's also going to attack Dimitri. Because he's closest. That one will miss. Number 8 is going to attack Winnie. That'll hit 22.
Mm-hmm.
9 points of slashing. And Winnie, you're up.
Okay.
Again, it just like cuts across.
Oh, God. I'm feeling stressed. First of all, I'm going to send a healing word over at Dimitri.
Okay.
How does spells work? I'm going to cast it at 3rd level.
So that'll be 3d4?
Yeah.
1d4, an additional 1d4 for each spell slot above level first, above level 1.
Yeah, so 3d4 plus 4, right?
5. 15 points of healing.
Great.
So, at Dimitri.
That's amazing. So yeah, you kind of see him getting overwhelmed, right? As these scarecrows, they just all rush you.
Yeah.
It's quite a scrum you're in right now.
Yeah.
You know, you're almost surrounded and he just kind of like gets laden down. And you can see the relief take effect in his face as your healing washes over him as he kind of casts an eye over at you and gives you a look as if to say, thanks, little sister.
Mm-hmm. You know? We're both surrounded.
Yeah.
I'm looking through...
Through the scarecrows to see them,
to try and get a clear shot on him.
Awesome.
So I'll send a healing word at him. The eraser dust will like encircle him like a hug, and then I'll pull some of it back. And again, I'm gonna word of radiance all the guys around me again.
Great. Okay. The 3. Awesome. 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 That's a save on their part.
Constitution save.
16.
That's the fucking DC.
Duh!
That's it. That's all I can do.
So they don't take anything?
Do you have a bonus action left or no?
It's a cantrip.
It's a cantrip. It's a cantrip. Okay, great.
Did you use your bonus action?
A healing worded.
Ah, fuck.
Yeah. Great. Kaz, you're up.
Okay. First, I'm going to take a swing at number 8 again.
Okay.
Reckless.
Send it away.
25
damage. That'll
hit, yep. Yep. And then 15 points of damage.
How's that happen?
Yes, Come on.
Let me ask you a crazy question.
Ooh.
Kaz does, okay, so this is why it's crazy, because Kaz does not know this, Drogar does. These things are, like, marionetted by magical something or other.
Mm-hmm.
I think I go to, like, cut the head off and inadvertently cut the strings.
Yeah, Yeah, you cut the head off, and it just crumples. It's a pile of straw and cloth. You know what I mean?
Cool.
It just absolutely demolishes.
So I don't think I make the connection. I think I cut the head off, and because I cut the head off, it collapses. But I think I have a weapon that is magical, and
yeah,
I think
definitely.
I think I just like I severed
it severs the
connection.
The strings, and even Drogar, like from your vantage in the battle, as Kaz takes its head off, you can almost see the ties of arcane weave being cut, and it just collapses to the ground.
Cool. Okay, with my second action, I'm gonna sneak up next to Dimitri there, and I'm going to try to grapple the one that is in range of...
Number 7?
Yeah, number 7.
Yeah,
the
go
one
for
that's
it.
In range
could
of,
you,
of me.
Just for mechanic purposes, could you
do that instead and still grapple?
I think so.
Leaving that path open for me?
I don't see why not, yeah.
I just have a plan and I want to
Giddy
if
up.
That's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
If that's okay with you.
I'm still grappling. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, okay, so I'll go up behind Winnie and I'll grapple that number 7 there.
Also, don't. I'm not a stickler about letting you move through an occupied space if it's an ally.
Okay.
So yeah.
But also, it makes literally no difference to my plan, so I'm happy to do
Carry on.
So, okay, so I'm going to make a grapple, and this is going to be a contested against the Scarecrow's acrobatics or dexterity.
9.
A number much higher than 9.
Great.
More.
Okay. So which one did I say? Number 7 there? Okay, so number 7 is now grappled, and I'm going to do a d6 of damage because of my spine.
Yes, you will.
Just give him a big old bear hug. Grr!
I forget on this die. This is one of those dice that has a
natural
logo.
Natural lion.
I forget if the logo is a 6 or a
That's
1.
It's a 6.
The logo is this as the cactus spines pierce through its strawish body.
Lovely.
Very good.
Oh, I still have movement, right?
You do?
I'll try to move it away from Winnie then. I'll try to move it away from Winnie. And Dimitri. My speed is halved while I'm grappling something. Mm-hmm. And I've already moved 5 feet. So that should give me another 35 feet to play with.
Yeah, great. I'm going to give number 9 there an attack of opportunity, just because.
Fair enough.
But 14, it'll miss with a 14?
That will miss, yes.
Yeah, huh? One Starting to make a front here. I love it. Anything else, Kaz?
That's all for me.
Drogar, you're up.
All right, DM, count the attacks of opportunity. You ready?
I'm ready.
Oh, no! No! Oh, God!
It's 2.
It's 1, 2, 3.
No, 1, 2.
3.
4.
No,
you're good.
Coming in does not occur, and that you're still threatened, so just...
Get him!
3.
Get him!
Go ahead, give me the 3.
Get him! All right. That's a crit.
Oh, son of a bitch.
That'll miss with a 9. That'll hit with a 22.
Oh, my God.
22's a...
that's exactly right.
That's exactly what you said.
So they're going to get... So they get a crit, and then they get...
Unreal.
I know.
I am upset.
Sorry, shit happens.
It's fine. It's only
time. I gotta make a concentration roll.
11. On the first, on the crit, it's 11 points of slashing.
Okay.
So a concentration check will have to be a 10. You have to beat a 10.
Okay. I beat the first.
Great.
One. Yeah.
And then second
concentration.
9 points of slashing damage. So you have to beat 10 again.
Okay.
Great. All right, you're good.
So you still have your thing. You said 11 and 9?
Mm-hmm.
Damn. Okay. And in that straight line...
Yes,
fire
come
breath.
On, come
Give it to
on.
Him.
Let's go.
Give it to him.
Line him up.
Give it to him.
Rocks! Fucking rocks! 15 points of fire damage, those three,
Six,
right in a line.
4, 5, 1, and 3. How far does it go?
It's a 15-foot cone, so... 5, 10, 15.
Great. So I'm going to 6, 4, and 5. I'll take how much?
15.
Come on.
Fire damage.
Sit him down.
Okay. That one's done. 5. How much? One more time. Sorry.
15 points. 15.
Okay. That one is still up just barely. And number 1 is up just barely.
So who's dead?
Number...
Any of them?
Tell me which
number
one's dead.
Number 6.
Okay.
Completely gone. And as the fire washes across them, the other two that are still remaining are... It's just a cross beam. It's just the sticks at their center. You know, the straw burn... The burlap, the linen, the straw. It burns away. It's literally just like a cross beam. Thriving like this.
Thriving.
Fire! Burn them with fire!
Great. Anything else, Drogar?
How about a little fire, Scarecrow?
Hey!
That's it.
Men in peril.
I think that's my action. My bonus is being sustained. My movement, that's it.
Great. Okay. All right, 6 is gone. Number 2.
Olaf says, I don't have any fire!
He's going to attack Olaf. But will crit fail. Number 5 is on its last leg. It will attack Olaf, but it will miss with a 12.
That will miss.
Number 3 is going to attack Olaf. Will hit with a 23.
That'll hit.
4. 9 points of slashing. Shing! And number 1. Just want to make sure I'm not making shit up anymore. So number 1, yes, is going to attack Olaf.
God.
But will miss with an 8. That's going to bring us to our guy here.
Oh boy, I have healer stress.
So he saw that display, Drogar.
Come on. Come on, you son of a bitch.
Drogar, you fucking blitzed these scarecrows away. But then you feel an eye upon you. And you kind of turn, and across the battlefield, you see your compatriot struggling with the scarecrows between you and this scarecrow sat atop this skeletal steed, and you can kind of feel his vision on you. I need you to give me...
So it is to be us, then.
Please give me a wisdom saving throw.
Oh, no. Oh, dear. Oh.
You're wise. This is like
be
your
wise,
whole thing.
Be wise.
This is a 17.
17? Okay, great. You see, so you watch this thing. The skeletal horse just plods across the battlefield.
Yeah.
Casual as you like. And you see this headless figure sat atop it. And you see, you know, just its shoulders squared. And almost like coming up from behind as if raising its head back from behind its neck like this. A head kind of emerges, right?
It's a transformer!
God. Fuck this thing.
Its head emerges, and you feel your senses, your spirit, racked for a moment as Tatiana's head emerges atop this thing.
Are we doing
Titania? Titania's head. As Titania's head emerges atop this thing. But you are fortified. You spent the morning with her.
Yeah.
You are not swayed. You are not frightened, despite the creature's best attempts.
What, I'm frightened right now. That's...
That's him. That's going to be number 9. He's going to attack Winnie. We'll miss. That's going to be Irina and Dimitri.
Drogar turns to him and goes, "Your illusions will not avail you here."
Nice. Fan-fucking-tastic.
Nice.
Great. Dimitri. Dimitri's going to go right there, and he stares down these scarecrows, and, you know, he bears up his dark hair, like, rivulets of his dark hair splash across his face.
Hotly.
Oh, my
Hotly.
God, we get it. He's hot.
We get it.
I'm never
going to
stop. I'm never going to stop.
I can only take so much. Hot Dimitri.
And he, like, throws his hands out to the side and claps them in front of his face. Sempre Supra! As a clap of thunder echoes directly in front of him.
Fuck yeah.
And the three scarecrows right in front of him get... they're going to make a save.
Thunderwave? Oh my god, tell me it's Thunderwave.
It's Thunderwave.
Fuck yes!
Yay!
Which they fail. All three get...
5 feet or three?
Two of them get completely shattered. Number five and number one get completely shattered.
Whoops. What was the last... What was left?
The other one right there, that one you were holding, I think that was number 6? No. Right. Fuck. God damn it.
Yes, that's six.
Just that one. It gets blasted back 5 feet.
It's cannon. All
right, yeah, that one is now 6.
So two of them are gone. Great. Thank you very much.
Attaboy, Dimitri.
Yeah, he... Thunderwave, which is now my favorite spell, thanks to Baldur's Gate 3.
Prosciutto e mozzarella.
Irina squares up again with the skeletal figure, and she kind of like... You see her, sort of like insightfully watch this duel of minds between you two.
Yeah.
And she kind of bears around and says, "You leave him alone, you beast!" And she's gonna chuck her second javelin at him, which is gonna sail wide, unfortunately.
Oh, dang it.
We are back to the top of the order. Olaf.
I am going to use my sharpshooter feet.
Yes.
With my precision attack.
Oh boy,
come
here
on.
It comes.
I'm gonna take this at disadvantage with an extra d8 for my feet.
Disadvantage? For sharpshooter?
Because there's people in range of me.
Oh, and remember, sharpshooter is also -5.
-5, but I get, with precision attack, I get a d8.
Is that one of the shots?
That's one. No, that's one of my fighter attacks.
Great, carry on.
So I'm using one of my 4 superiority die.
Yes.
Get him, Tyler! Yeah. Get him!
You
people
play
sleep.
The fucking game.
People
yes.
sleep on fighters, bro. People sleep on fighters. Oh, no.
No.
Oh, Tyler.
Nat 1.
No.
Oh, Tyler. No, there's a nat 1 on the d8. What, the d20 is not in a nat 1.
Yeah, it is.
Oh,
yeah, it is.
I got 2 fucking ones.
Yeah, he rolled 2 ones.
Two ones.
Oh, Tyler.
But guess what? I get to shoot again.
You do. Second shot.
Second attack. Same shit.
So, yeah, you I think Olaf... This sort of, like, frontline... It's just not what you're accustomed to. Mm-hmm. You work in the shadows. You're a scout. You, like... You pick off weak opponents. If they're strong, you flee. This is not what you're accustomed to. Shoot your second shot.
There it is. Come on.
What is it,
baby?
Wait, let me superiority die.
Fist pumping and keeping the headphones on. That's a good sign.
Okay. Minus the 5, plus the 7, plus
carry the 1,
the 4. Damn, this math sucks.
You're doing great.
Square root of pi.
I can do math
so
if you
plus
want.
6, plus... It hit. It was like... It was a 16 minus 5 plus...
It's 11.
Fucking 6.
All right. We're there. I trust you.
I think I just realized why no one wants to play fighters.
Because math sucks.
It's fine. Everything's fine. I hit. Okay. So now, plus 10.
Yeah, so this is to roll your damage, and it's plus 10.
And
come
now...
On,
straight plus 10 to damage, because sharpshooter is broken.
Give me a good D8. Give me a good one.
Come on, D8.
I'm rolling this one.
Come on, D8.
That's good.
21 points of damage.
Oh, shit.
How did it happen?
Yeah!
Back fucking god. Okay.
Skogging all of.
So I fucking, like, take my second. Like, I got these fucking beasts on my back, and I'm like, I just, like, take that warrior moment to, like, focus in. And I fucking rip a shot, and it goes right by the fucking thing's head. And I just, like, curse myself, and I'm like, one last chance. And I focus in, and it just strikes that sack, and it just fucking explodes.
Yeah, and it sort of, like, starts crumbling from the shoulders downwards. Like, bones and straw and pieces of wood just start crumbling. And as it like, moves down his torso and begins to reach the horse also starts to come apart. And it just crumples into a pile of bone and dust and hay. Good work.
Yes.
Woo! Anything else, sir?
Just a primal roar. Just...
Berserkers!
And that'll end my turn.
Grand. So number 7 is going to... Man, he's gonna take Dimitri. Damn.
No.
Darn it. Stop hitting yourself.
He's gonna miss with an 8. Number 4... is right there. It's going to attack Kaz.
He's grappled. If that... Oh, but that doesn't affect
him. He can still attack.
He just can't move.
He just can't move. 17?
Hit.
Will hit, yes. 8 points of slashing damage as he's like... So, like, you've got him grappled, Kaz, and you can, the rest of you can see the spines, like, going from Kaz's body through the Scarecrow's body out the back of it, and he's still just like... digging his claws into Kaz's flanks. Winnie, you're up.
Can I ask, Dimitri has been hit a lot.
A lot.
Is he bleeding?
Yeah.
He is bleeding. All right. Then I am going to, as everyone else, as these turns are going by, I'm standing there surveying the battlefield at all of us surrounded. I see Dimitri also being swarmed, and I'm going to take out my tusk slingshot, and I'm going to whisper... A cure wounds. I'm gonna fire a cure wounds over at Dimitri. And did we decide last time that I need to roll to hit?
Nope.
I thought that's what we did decide.
It's a touch spell. Oh, yes, correct.
She starts to hit him though, yeah.
Yes, I definitely hit.
Nice.
All right, so he's gonna have a cure wounds, which is off the top. Does anybody know?
1d8 plus your modifier.
Plus spellcasting?
Yeah, that's for first level. Are you firing it at first level?
First level.
Yeah, 1d8.
8!
Nice!
Plus 13 more points of healing for Dimitri over there.
Atta girl,
and then
Winnie.
I still have spiritual weapon up, so I'm going to real quick, I'm just going to whip it over my head and slam it like point blank. I'm going to try and knock the head off of number 9 over here.
Roll the hit.
Fuck yeah!
I definitely don't do fucking anything. that's a 12 to hit.
They'll hit.
It does.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. They're scarecrows.
Okay.
They're scarecrows.
It's just a bunch of mooks.
All right. Is that one plus anything or just the raw?
The spiritual weapon is a d8 plus your spellcasting modifier.
Okay,
yeah.
So then 11 points of force damage on number 9 over there.
Woo-hoo!
Nice.
Great. Anything else, Winnie?
I have a cry.
Okay.
That's
crying is a free action. Kaz, you're up.
Okay. I've got number 4 grappled. So I'm just gonna send away 2 attacks at him. So the first one is a 90-15 for a 23.
Yep.
That's gonna be 12 points of damage.
Okay.
With the great sword. And if he's still alive,
he
I'll
is.
Do it again. For, 18 on the die for another hit.
Yeesh.
And that's gonna do 11.
That's enough. Yes. Another one goes down.
Okay. That means I don't get to do my spiky damage on anything else. I feel, I kind of feel like Winnie's got it handled. She's got the spiritual weapon there, and I like, she's riding the bees.
She's got it. She's on it.
So I think I'm going to go after, I'll go after number 7 there. Because I'm like working my way, because I think I feel bad a little bad for Olaf as my as my subject, who has done a fantastic job of contending with all of these scarecrows by himself. I'm trying to work my way closer to him.
Great, perfect.
I'll get up in Seven's business, ready to grapple if need be.
All righty, Drogar, you're up.
Hi, it's an honor just to fight by your side, Kvan.
Yeah. Oh, I do love that. Oh.
I know.
Drogar takes the epitome of a 5-foot step. And he will look at Olaf and go, Olaf! And wait for you to turn at me.
And he'll look.
Our eyes shine blue. You get 20 health back.
Woo!
So,
yay!
Channel divinity.
Olaf like stands up and goes like a nice.
Rolls his shoulders back. Come on.
Cracks every bone in his body.
So that's
and I think he smiles into the eyes of the scarecrow.
That's 40. That's 40 hit points between the two of us. So you get 20. I get 20.
Great.
And then I think
that's your action.
That's my action and my concentration. I'm concentrating Shield of Faith on you still.
That doesn't take anything to concentrate.
Yeah, but if I was going to cast a bonus action, I would drop the concentration on that.
Mm-mm.
You only have... No. Only if it's another concentration spell.
Like Spiritual Guardian?
If that's concentration, then you would have to drop it, yeah.
Spiritual Guardian is...
You can only concentrate on one.
No, Spiritual Guardian is duration.
But Spiritual Guardian is not a bonus action.
No, it's not. No, I'm sorry. Spiritual Weapon I'm thinking of.
And it's not concentration.
It's not concentration. You can do Spiritual
it's
Weapon.
It's not?
Oh, yeah. No, it's not.
Meteor Knock! Out of the ground! Boom!
Let me rephrase. I think that certain bonus action spells, like Spiritual Weapon and Misty Step,
yes.
I think I will allow to be cast on the same turn
as
a full spell. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The fact that it's a bonus action is perhaps limitation enough.
Correct.
Great. So I will use that with my bonus action, then it will swing at number 3 there and
send it away.
Try to get a knockoff. That's not going to fucking do it.
What is it?
It's way too fucking low.
All right.
How is it? Bad.
Bad.
We're running.
That was an 11. I don't think that misses. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that's going to bring us to Scarecrow number 2, who's right in front of Olaf. He's going to attack Olaf again. And we'll miss. And number 3 is also going to attack Olaf. And that will also miss. Number 1. All right, number 1's gone. Get
number 1's
here.
Dead. Number 1.
Number 9 is going to attack Winnie. And we'll hit with an 18.
What's... No, it will not.
It will not hit
no,
with an 18.
Will not.
Never mind. And he's dead. Get out of here.
Is that one below?
Back to Irina
so
and
like
Dimitri.
Maybe bows a little bit.
At least twice.
Yeah.
Twice this is, Shield of Faith has saved me.
Hell yeah, it has. Giving you that sweet 19 AC.
Mm-hmm. And Dimitri, he's still... That's too many friends for Thunderwave. He's just going to Shocking Grasp again, which will hit. Irina, looking over Dimitri's shoulder. She threw both her javelins. Is going to go... Let's see. It was over here. So she goes, she gets her javelin. She runs back over so she can get a clear shot at number 7.
Yeah.
She chucks it. And gets it like right through center mass, and it collapses into dust. And Irina goes, "I did it!
Yes, ma'am!
Good job, Irina!"
That javelin sails like inches in front of Kaz's face and just kills this thing that she was about to grapple in. She just like,
it sticks into the post.
Yeah, she just looks at Irina and goes, "Nice."
Yeah, that's the end. We are back
you're
to the
really
top of the order.
You're planting that back foot.
This is round 4. Olaf, you're up.
All right. Well,
we're getting close to the end here.
Let's just take some disadvantage shots at number 3.
Yeah. close quarters.
Point blank.
That will be 19.
That'll do it.
Yes, nice. Come on.
Wow, wait, that was with disadvantage. Holy shit.
Oh, yes. I have a +9 on my longbow shot.
Wow.
It's very nice.
Still, even then, that's you got to get good rolls for that.
Oh, max damage.
That will be 12 on the first shot.
12 damage?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Second shot.
Shot number two. That'll be a 13.
That'll hit.
That'll hit.
Great Scott.
Great Scott.
Great Scott.
8 points
on the second shot.
8 points. Okay. Anything else, Olaf?
That'll finish my turn.
Great. That's going to be number seven who just exploded. Get out of here, number seven. Winnie, you're up.
All right. Would Sacred Flame be at disadvantage?
No, it would not, because it is
it's a save,
not a spell attack.
That's what I was Googling. I'm really mad at number nine over here. I've been fighting with him for so long.
Fuck him up.
Okay, so I'm going to reach over, and I'm going to, like, plant both hands on his chest. Light him up, Sacred Flame. Dexterity saving throw from you.
Ride the bees!
10.
Fail.
Yeah, get him.
Get him. Was it 1d8 or 2d8 now?
I think two now.
It's two now.
It's two.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, son of a gun. But I can add my spellcasting modifier to my cantrip damage now.
Uh-huh.
So then it ends up being 10 radiant damage.
How's it happen?
Yay! Yeah, very, very bees. She just, like, reaches out and plants both hands on this guy's chest, and you watch it, like, she's holding and, like, vibrating, and you watch it light up, and then it's like she lets out a scream and pulls it back and then shoots it forward again, and it disintegrates in a burst of straw and eraser dust.
Bits and pieces of it go flying across the field,
and then, still screaming, she's gonna grab hold of that lasso of eraser dust and swing it around, spiritual weapon. I've got, what, 60 feet on spiritual?
20. It's only 20.
It's only 20?
The range to summit is 60. You can move it 20. But you can move it, yeah.
Okay, and then I'm going to run over to Irina.
Irina! Kaz, you're up. Clean us up, Kaz.
Take number five. I'll take
clean
number
us up,
three.
Kaz.
Yeah, so...
There's two and three left.
Because I only have 20 feet of movement. Because I'm old and slow like that.
Well, you've got your spiritual weapon, though. You're good.
Remember, I have a disadvantage.
I want to hit something with my mace!
I think I just run up and two reckless attacks at number three.
Giddy up.
Here comes number one.
I know, we still have to find out what that mace does.
Yeah.
18 on the die, that's a hit.
Yep.
13 damage.
That's enough.
To number three.
How's it happen?
To kill it.
Yes.
Yeah, shit. I think she's running, and she takes, she has her greatsword, and as she's running, just, like, sweeps upward and just, like, scrapes along the shaft of the scarecrow.
Nice.
And just, like, splits all of the hay and fabric stuff off of it.
Yeah, it splits in half like a cartoon.
Like the stick on one side
with
half the hay and stuff.
Great.
And then second attack, she'll take it number five.
Great, send it away.
Come on.
It's a 7 on the die, and I think their AC is 12, right? So I
correct.
Think that would be a hit. Okay, yes. So it's a hit. 14 damage. And that is my turn.
Drogar, finish this off.
And with the mace, boom, he's going to go for a swing. That'll do. That's a 24 to hit.
That'll do it. Roll damage.
All right. Guess what I get this time? Divine Strike. So I get a D8 added once per turn.
So instead of adding his modifier to cantrip damage like you get, he gets more damage on melee attacks.
Boom!
Nice! Yeah. Uh-huh.
14 points of damage.
That's enough! How's it happen?
Yeah, yay! He just takes maneuvers really quickly. He does 1, 2, 3, 4, 20 feet, and he just comes around like this, and he just... Boom,
I think having Valandra reforged like this, Drogar, gives you a little bit of that pep in your step back.
Yeah.
A little bit
I
of
feel
those
like
soldier
I'm 324 again.
Yeah, and you send it scattering across.
That was the year I got into CrossFit.
Yeah, and the field falls quiet.
I feel like the mace goes through the center of it, and like if you've ever seen a cannonball go through a ship,
yeah,
the splintering of the wood and everything. Yeah, yeah. I think that's what it looks like when the mace goes through.
Cannonballs are so gnarly.
And the field falls quiet again. Good job, everybody.
Really How cool. is everyone feeling?
Angry!
I think that went all right, actually.
You did really, really good. You did so good. You did really great.
Thank you.
I was meaning to tell you, that was a very good throw.
Not bad, eh? Well, I learned a little from Kaz. She taught me about the foot and all.
She does know the back foot very well.
How do you feel? That was really scary.
It was indeed. Oh, quite frightening. Is this what you do on a sort of regular basis?
This is kind of like regular days.
This was a regular Tuesday.
Goodness gracious.
Pretty much our whole deal.
Dimitri?
Huh?
Are you all right?
Oh, yeah.
Are you feeling okay? Your nose is bleeding.
Oh, yeah. It took me a bit by surprise, I suppose, but I don't know. Once the devil breaks your arm...
Oh, you've seen some stuff.
I say, hold still, I hit you with a cure wounds. Max, that's 14 points of healing.
That'll get him. Okay, cool.
Plus you get two more, because I casted it... you get... one additional hit point.
It's enough. It's enough. It gets better. Yeah. It's enough. Yeah.
And I get three back just for casting.
Nice. So, yeah, you do this and you can see, like, the scarecrow's maybe, like, tore across the clothes on his chest, but you see, like, the thin lines of blood, like, knit back together, so he's only left with the damage to his clothes. Oh, gracious. Oh, my mother's going to be so pissed that I ruined this. Well, all for the cause.
Yes.
Olaf, you okay?
Yeah, it's good to spill a little blood on the road.
I look down at the scarecrow bodies that have like literally 30 arrows sticking out of them, just like in the eyes and like the face and the head and everything. And I'm like,
yes. Way to use the arrows to your advantage.
I'd say it takes a fight like this to make a true party.
Indeed.
Are we a real adventuring party now? Irina says, looking around excitedly at you all.
Drogar wipes a bead of sweat.
Irina, something tells me you have a very particular idea of what you think goes on in our adventuring party.
Well, you know, you travel the land righting wrongs and correcting sins, and everyone feels better after you've been.
That's the hope, yeah. That's the hope.
Yes, but I need to be very real with you. Lives are lost. People die. And if you're not careful, we lose friends along the way.
No, I think she knows. No, she knows. If she's been in Strahd's house, she knows.
All right.
Everyone, I think, in Barovia is intimately acquainted with Deathmaster Rogar. But I do take your words in their meaning. I know. I won't take this lightly.
All right. I need a moment.
And Drogar just kind of like, he'll walk off kind of like... toward the wagon again, just to kind of, like, catch himself.
Is he all right?
Yeah.
Nah, he's just old. Kaz hasn't quite come out of her rage yet. She's still
We're still coming down.
In fact, I think even before she says that, like, as the battle is sort of coming to a close, she, as some of these scarecrows are probably already dead, but in her mind, perhaps in the last throes of whatever semblance of an imitation of life that they have, she's grabs another one.
I hope you enjoyed the show.
Just throws it down into the dirt.
Great. Time's yours. Do you want to get back on the road?
Yeah, Drogar heads back to the wagon and kind of sits in the driver's seat. And just kind of waits.
I'll chase after him.
Oh, you're all right. Do you need any healing?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to snap at her.
No, I know.
It was my
attempt.
Just...
I know. We all want her to be safe. And it's really scary. I'm really scared to have her here. I think it's probably better than just worrying about what would be happening. But, oh man. Just, I feel so scared.
Well, we will protect her. I don't want there to be any misunderstandings about what it is that we do.
I think we're still newer here than she is. She still knows really a lot.
I agree.
We just gotta trust her. And work really hard. She did really good. What are you scared of?
I've buried one companion while I've been here. I will not bury another.
You know.
Especially not one so young.
Feels different now.
Don't mind me. I'm just an old codger.
Old badger.
Why don't you make sure Irene is all right? And why don't you muster the troops and get us all ready to go, Lieutenant?
And he'll give her like a little salute.
Aw.
Okay. You okay?
I'm going to feed Desi.
Okay. I love you.
I love you too, little one.
I'll run back to Irina.
Uh-huh. And I go over to Desi and I give her... I don't know, I feel like I have oats. Like, we have, like, a sack of...
Sure, yeah,
like we have
definitely.
A sack of oats. Yeah, so sure. I pull out some oats.
Some horse feed.
I just let her, like, start... I'm sure she's, like, nervous.
She's pretty used to this shit at this point, I think. You guys have
she's
flipped
like,
this.
Bitch, this ain't
you
guys, nothing.
You can't speak with animals. That was crazy.
You put the horse through the fucking ringer, I think.
That was nothing compared to the wolves. Yeah, so anyway, I just feed her, and I think I just kind of give her some pets, and I'm like,
right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll make a war horse of her yet. Just like, I'm picturing a future battle as we go through these, like, knights in resplendent armor atop their majestic, shining steeds. And then we see one on top of Desi, like a plow horse.
Mm-hmm. Just Drogar's freakishly big body on top of Desi.
Desi needs some armor.
Yeah.
That needs to be our next stop.
Yeah.
Zarya could probably make
Zarya? Kavan?
Don't look at me. I'm not a blacksmith.
All right. What else we got in this sort of in this post-battle moment? Anything else?
Kaz gives two of her javelins to Irina. She has four.
Two? Are you sure? You won't need them.
I don't want you to be useful for only 12 seconds of battle.
I take your point.
You'll use them more than I will. I like to get up close.
I've noticed that. You're quite good at it.
Thank you. Also, tomorrow morning, wherever it is we camp, if we have the time, I'm going to start teaching you how to use a spear.
I should like that very much.
Because javelins are great, but if something comes up close to you, you need to know how to keep them at bay.
I'm eager to learn. You know, something about cultivating one's body, it inspires in me such a sense of freedom and control like I've never had before.
Your body is the thing that you live in while you're alive on this plane. You might as well make sure it works.
I owe you much, Kesley. It was you who put this tool in my hand in the first. Feels like a lifetime ago now.
It does. I wish it hadn't been necessary, but I'm glad you know how to use it.
Me too.
Spears are just like javelins. You just don't let go.
I'll work on it.
That's awesome.
That's lesson number one. We'll get on to lesson number two tomorrow morning.
Okay, cool. Great.
Yeah, so Olaf is still kind of in his, like, non-ragey blood rage. And he just, like, in the heat of the fight, just, like, wants to walk around, like, check out the scarecrow body, see if there's anything, which I'm assuming there's nothing.
No, they are now, having been severed from the magic that animated them, they are inert and nothing more than they are now just the sum of their parts.
Yeah, so he just, like, kind of, like, does a loop while all this is going on. And then, like, comes back to the group. And I feel like he's still got, like, even though it's been healed, he still has, like, some blood now mm-hmm. on his shoulder. And he just wipes his hand across it and then just drags it down his face. And he looks at, like, the rest of our group and he goes, "Come, this fight was just the beginning." And then just turns and walks away. And, like, walks
I'm
in
so
front.
Turned on right now.
And damn, dude, you're metal.
And we keep on rolling.
I feel like I want to roll for this because I feel like I shouldn't be able to do it. And I hope it's only if I do really well. Should this actually merit anything?
What are you after?
I want to see if I can learn anything from the fact that I had that sort of, like, cut the strings moment.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Just mm-hmm. to, like, just to get a sense of the
guidance.
Fact that, so a 15 on the die, what do you think that should be? Like, what stat should I use for that?
Arcana, I think.
So that'd be a 14.
Oh, no.
What?
No, just that it's a negative. I think it's what they're reacting to. Yeah. I'm working against a lot of stuff
sure,
here.
Sure. Well, no, you know, Cass, it's like...
Let me take it back a little bit. Because, like, what I'm thinking is we've been told that Baba Lazaga uses scarecrows as her puppets.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had that moment where I kind of, like, severed something.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, in the moment, I kind of just thought it was the head, and like because I cut the head off, it crumpled, mm-hmm. which makes sense in Kaz's brain. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think like she's just sort of like lingering on that moment.
You know what? I love that. I love that. And maybe even as we sort of like get ourselves together and carry on, she's still just kind of mulling it over in her head. And I think Kaz, magic, I think has never been a chief concern of yours. Like you've just always been able to sort out the tasks that have been put before you with your own power.
Yeah.
And it's a strange, confusing, maybe superfluous almost sort of practice for you.
Yeah.
But like looking at these animated husks that now lie inert and reflecting back maybe even on many of the sort of magical effects, both wondrous and horrendous that you've seen, it's almost like you start to... It's like you've learned a couple of things in HTML.
Oh, my goodness.
You know?
That was catered right for you. My
gosh. Oh, I feel so seen.
You know? And we're not even into CSS, yes, and like, God forbid, the next steps where it gets even further in complexity.
He's talking about JavaScript.
But like, if it was 2000, you could put together a website right now.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
Or at least edit your AIM profile.
I just made my first like Hello World H1 tag.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Cool. Uh-huh. All right. Yeah. Cool. Wait. Okay. Wow. Wow. All right.
Sick. What did we just learn?
Don't worry about it.
How to code.
No, don't worry about it.
Just that there is some magic, I think. Mm-hmm. Because she knew. She knows that these things are like the spies of Baba Lasaga. Mm-hmm. And I think all that it really amounts to for Kaz is that she's acutely aware that we're being watched, mm-hmm. and she's oddly okay with that. Mm-hmm. She's like, you know, because she's kind of feeling herself right now. She kind of feels like a badass. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, you want to watch? Mm-hmm. I'll give you something to watch. Mm-hmm. Watch me coming to kick your ass.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Where's Arya?
Okay. They do want more content.
Carrying on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. You carry on further and further, pressing deeper into the swamp. You roll along for, I don't know, in these mists, time really starts to get warped just because you can only see like a foot in front of you. Your sense of space is distorted, and so naturally your sense of time would become so as well.
For the next 10 minutes, though, we are following locate object.
Oh, yes.
That's right. We still have time on that.
That's right.
Maybe 5 minutes or so, but at least...
10 minutes minus approximately 24 seconds.
That's great. So this fight comes to an end and you carry on and you had not sent something before, Winnie. That's great. But at some point, you do get a little bit of a ping. You begin to. And as you follow your way towards that pinpoint, that sort of like signal that you're getting... You start to come across your own footprints. You realize you didn't even know you were going in circles until you came into radius of this pinpoint. You didn't even realize you were going in circles.
Wait a minute, those are our track marks.
That's weird.
Keep the spell going. We were going in circles.
Oh my gosh.
There's something evil about this place.
You follow forward, Winnie, sort of acting as a guiding light here, and you carry forward through the mists. And the further and further you go, the more choked they get. Until finally, tunk, the wagon comes to a screeching halt. And if you get out to inspect, moving out, you know, sort of inspecting as to what, you know, it should be working fine, especially if you're with your spell still active. But you hop out and you realize one of the wheels has butted up against something jutting out of the earth. And as you look down and examine it, you realize it's the top of a chimney.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I love that.
Mm-hmm. This is getting Campbell's Last of Us post-apocalyptic juices
okay,
going.
Okay, it's also getting Campbell's obsession with Pompeii.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
The fucking city was buried.
It's mm-hmm. the top of a chimney. And you'll recall what you had learned is that the whole city was buried underneath a landslide.
Yep.
And as you carry on, more and more poking up out of the earth, you see the tips of rooftops.
I shine the light on Tally-ho's eyes. Cascades over these mm-hmm. rooftops as we've passed by.
And you can almost get a sense of where the road used to be.
because on flanking you to either side, you're seeing chimney tops and the shutters of the, what do you call the what's the word?
Awning.
No, for the roof, like the little bits
shingles.
Of clay. Shingles, yes, thank yeah. you. Thank
First
you.
Word, thank sounds you. Like.
Thank you. Yeah, shingles of roofs. And making your way further and further, you kind of come to this thoroughfare, and suddenly a new form kind of takes shape out of the mist as you draw closer. It looks to be the top of a statue. And you can kind of see it from like the torso up. It's a woman. And everyone give me an investigation check.
Investigation. That's what I do worst.
That's what I do.
can't even get the
first
die.
Worst is rolling dice.
Can't even get the die into my tower. Oh boy, okay. That's a roll too. The roll reflects the last few seconds of my life. That's an 8.
8.
17.
17.
It's a 9.
9.
3.
3. Yeah, you just see the top of it, like in Planet of the Apes, you know, how you see the Statue of Liberty just poking out of the beach. But you all take a moment to sort of like reflect upon it. It's been weathered by years, but it looks a heck of a lot like Irina.
No, I knew
no,
it.
No,
I knew
no,
it. I
no.
knew it. I knew it.
And yeah, Olaf won't say anything, but like you'll see him like look at the statue and then just like look at Irina and like look back, mm-hmm. look at Irina, then just like shake his head and like kind of keep going or like move on.
And kind of coming into focus just beyond, you kind of get the sense that you've arrived at like what was once the town square. Because the roofs and the chimneys and such poking up out of the earth are sort of in like a, almost like a cul-de-sac around where this central statue comes up out of. And across the way, like due north, almost like rising up out of the roots of the mountain, which rises up beyond, you see what could only be the second floor of a house, taller still than the ones that you've seen emerging out of the earth so far. But it looks like you could almost walk onto a landing which may have once been a balcony that looked out over this town square. And notably, it's beautiful. Even after all this time, the it's intricate. Like the buildings that you have come across thus far have been very Spartan, very practical, especially, you know, in Valaki. It's like, you know, thatched cottages and sort of like very medieval fare, you know. In Barovia, it was wooden shacks. In Krez, everything is very utilitarian and sort of has like an almost militaristic purpose to it as well. It's like a city of hunting lodges almost. But here, the banisters are carved with ornate, beautiful figureheads of horses and lions. The windows, though the glass has long since been shattered, you can tell, like, are intricately wrought with fine iron for their sills and panes. Or not panes, the, what do you call it, like the crossbar across it. It's just like a beautifully constructed house, once something that you might see in the world beyond, you know, it just speaks of the affluence that may once have graced this place. But you stand here before this, like the first story still subsumed by the earth, but the top, the second floor, kind of rises up almost like a schoolhouse, you know, like it's a long plane and then a tower kind of rises up out of the middle with a circular window set into it. So it almost looks like a schoolhouse. What would you like to do?
Is that accessible to us, or is it all mud that we can sink into?
No, you can move your way towards it, and it's almost like what used to be a second floor balcony is now level with the earth. And there's like, you know, the big like veranda doors that you could walk through if you wanted to.
This place must have been the crown jewel of the valley. Look, Winnie, you see the banister? You see how it's carved intricately?
Wow.
We haven't seen anything like that. Not even St. Markovia's library.
Could I walk up to it?
Yeah.
I would love to walk up to it and then stand before these, you said there's like doors,
mm-hmm.
and just like scan up with the light on Tally-ho's eyes and then knock.
Okay.
while Winnie's doing the scanning, can I look for like cobwebs or anything that shows whether or not things have gone in and out?
Signs of arrest or movement. Yeah, sure. Give me a great. Yeah, give me an investigation.
16.
Nothing has disturbed this place in decades.
Okay. All right. Yes, I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to let Winnie do her thing.
Mm-hmm. Is locate object doing anything around here?
You're looking for the gem, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's still very distant.
Okay.
Still continue, like past this building, still further to the north.
As I stand there in front of the doors, I look back over my shoulder at Irina,
mm-hmm.
having passed by this statue.
Mm-hmm.
Just what does she look like?
She looks unsure.
Yeah.
But, you know, she looks like certainly this already has not been exactly what she was picturing, but she trusts y'all, you know, so she's sticking with the game.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Then with the light, I just pan it up the door and then knock.
Knock. That's great. Okay. For a moment, everything is still quiet. Nothing but the murky sounds of the swamp and the buzzing of the flies. And you almost feel like you begin turning back towards your compatriots to be like, I don't know. And suddenly,
oh, visitors.
Oh, no.
After so long.
And kind of like moving his way, just like moving through the solid doors, a ghastly green spectral figure of a gentleman in like a really like a powdered curled wig.
Drugger cast turn undead.
You know, like he's got the like Rev War curls in it.
Oh,
and he's
yeah.
in a really sort of like resplendent petticoat.
With the frills vest, and the frock and everything, yeah.
Yeah, and pantaloons with like, you know, like knickers down to his knees and tall socks and buckled shoes. He kind of makes his way forward.
Goodness gracious me. And the estate, it's such a mire. Oh, embarrassing it is. I am terribly sorry. We are not more adeptly versed to receive company. You must forgive the House of Ulrich.
Oh, of Ulrich?
No.
Well, yes, this is the estate of Burgomaster Laszlo Ulrich, esteemed head of state of Berez, the crown jewel of Zenobia.
When was he the Burgomaster?
I take your meaning, yes. We have fallen a bit from our repudiated place since the devil's coming, but, oh, the spirit of resistance and revolution still runs deep here in our fair city.
Does it?
Indeed.
Your city is under mud.
What do you mean?
Hi.
Hello.
I'm Winnie.
A pleasure to meet you, Winnie.
What's your name?
An excellent question.
Well, no, what is your name?
My name is Bob.
John Quincy Adams.
My name is Barnabas Rigby.
We're in Boston.
I have the distinct pleasure of being Devon Sharpshire.
Devon.
Master of home for Burgomaster Laszlo Ulrich.
Devon, is there anybody else living in this house with you?
Well, but of course, my master, Laszlo, his beautiful daughter, Marina, and all of the support staff. It is a very popular spot as people from the town come and go, having their needs fulfilled. Quite the hub of activity we are, which, again, I must beg your pardon for the state of the place. I just can't seem to get it tidy anymore.
Do you have maybe... So, it's my great pleasure to meet you.
As Kaz, like, clumsily executes, like, a stately bow.
Very good, Kaz. Very good.
I've been working on it. I'm a queen now.
It shows.
Does it seem maybe a little odd to you that we knocked on the second floor of your house?
Well, Now that you mention it, it is quite strange to make your initial entry on the veranda, but who am I to judge? We host all kinds here at Ulrich Manor, diplomats from many far lands, and, strange customs are no unfamiliar thing here.
Did you ever host Ostrad von Zorovich?
Oh, the devil himself. Yes, indeed.
Your marina. Is that the statue on the way in?
What? And he gets this weird look on his face, and he kind of crinkles up his face and closes his eyes as if being like shocked with electricity, and he almost seems to like convulse for a moment.
Never! Ah, fair marinas, far too virtuous and beautiful victim to the predations of such a cantankerous demon. She, surely, will have nothing to do with him.
But David, I asked about the statue.
What? Oh, yes. Quite a likeness, is it not?
Is that Marina?
What? But...
And then he gets a kind of long look behind his eyes as his gaze falls upon Irina.
Oh, would you have her here? My lady, I beg your pardon, I did not know you had gone for a turn. Will your new friends be staying for dinner?
Oh, dear.
And she just sort of looks thunderstruck.
What?
Play along.
As Kaz, like, elbows her.
Yes. Yes. Please treat them as you would a foreign dignitary. Oh, very good, mistress. I expect you'll be wanting to meet the master then.
Oh.
Sure, but as you've mentioned...
As Kaz again is like... Kaz like, takes a very clumsy, like, regal stance.
As you have so wisely inferred...
Good job, Kaz.
We are foreign people, and... In our lands, it is customary that we never set foot on the lower floors of a house.
Ah, a strange custom, but a welcome one. Good of you to make it past the fog. Clever.
Should we have a great deal more time, I'm sure Drogar here could tell you a great deal about the history and tradition of that custom.
Yes, you see...
I said if we had more time.
Oh, how thrilling. I'm sure the master will want to speak to you at once. He does love to learn of the world beyond these fogs, particularly Everton.
Yes, see, somebody likes to learn about the worlds beyond these fogs.
Right. So wait until the people who want to hear it are there. That way we only have to say it once.
Wait until the people are there.
Wonderful. Well, let's not dally on the stoop. We won't live forever. Come with me.
And he just floats back through the door.
Oh, I'm going to try and open the door.
Give me a strength check. There's layers of like caked mud and moss still obstructing it.
I'm done with this one too!
If I see her struggling, can I assist?
Yeah, Winnie walks over and like has to reach her hands up over her head to get on the handle, and she's like, yeah.
Drogar, I really didn't mean anything by it. I'm just trying to get us to the next thing here. Also, wait, did you have something in mind? Are you going to make up a custom for why we can only be on the second floor? I really put you on the spot.
I mean, there are many reasons why we can only be on the second floor at a certain place.
All right.
You don't want to hear what I have to say.
You know what? Actually, I take it back. I would love nothing more than to be regaled with the tales of
life. Don't you humor me with your sarcastic remarks, Kay. After 528 years of living, I know bullshit when I see it.
K Divine Jones! Reaching out of the module!
Don't you bullshit me, Kaz.
Kaz unzips her skin and some tentacles poke out. Why do I have a die? Am I rolling something?
You're rolling to help me.
Winnie's still just pulling at the door.
Oh, okay.
You're rolling to pull your head out of your ass.
That's a natural one.
No!
You make your way over and you try to help Kay. Now I'm doing it. You try to help Kaz, but you slip in the muck and go down to and kind of, as you fall, take Winnie's feet out from under, and both of you just kind of land in the muck.
Devin!
Oh, but well, you don't want to hear about the things that I had planned.
Are the things you have planned going to open the door? Because if so, then please.
What's wrong with the door?
There's just like layers of mud and grime and moss built up against him.
Drogar will attempt a strength check to
go for it.
It's a 16.
Great. Yeah. So you walk over, and Devin pokes. He just pokes his. He like
his
leans,
head goes through the door.
Yeah, he leans forward, and just his head comes through. We don't have all day. Please, the master's schedule is chock full. And you make your way over, Drogar, and you kind of like wrench it open enough for everyone to be able to like slide through.
Thanks, Drogar. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings.
It's all right, Kaz.
And we make our way inside the house.
Okay.
I really love your stories the first time I hear them.
Drogar is really taking on water today.
Oh,
yes, I am aware I forget which stories I tell you and which I don't.
Has received a lot of feedback.
We're receiving all of your feedback in the order they've been received. We will expedite the process as we see fit. Thank you.
Beautiful.
I will squeeze into whatever, like, however much space there is to squeeze.
So Drogar wrenches the door open enough that everyone is able to pass through, and making your way inside, everything is caked with sort of a layer of, it's just like everything is just kind of has like a little bit of a wet basement feel to it. It's a little sodden and soaked and stinky. But you
I'm
can,
so excited I can't breathe.
You can tell once it was a resplendent home. You know, you on the second floor, you come in here and what looks like it must have been like a breakfast nook long ago. You know, a spot for quiet contemplation in the morning, you know, with this view out over the entire town. There's overturned furniture and broken and shattered ceramic from broken tea cups and a teapot rusted to the very ends of its existence, you know, against one wall. There are all along the walls, there are what must have once been portraits, but now faded with age, and that the figures and depictions that they make out can hardly be perceived anymore. There may be some taxidermied heads along some of the wall of creatures that you have not yet viewed native to this place. Overall, just a level of comfort that even in Valak, even the Burgermaster's Mansion, you had not quite come to expect here in Barovia. But now, of course, all to ruin.
This once was a great manor house.
Oh, yes. The pride of the city. As you could be believed. Well, you know, naturally, a burgomaster must have a fitting home from which to project his resplendence, no?
Devin, do you have a journal or a log that the burgomaster would have kept?
Well, my master keeps excellent notes, but he'll be able to tell you more. I am but here to keep the place in order. Do excuse it now.
I would very much like to speak with him.
Indeed, do follow me, and he continues to float.
I'm just, as we're going, I'm casting the light on Tallyho's eyes around these portraits that are, I'm just looking for more semblances of Irina.
Great. Cool. Give me an investigation. No?
No.
Okay.
Any of her brother? Of my Marina's brother? The
Give me an investigation.
I'm pretty sure my investigation's a minus one, so 13.
16 for me.
Yeah, so moving through the halls, you kind of like try to look at some of these weathered portraits that are along the walls, and they're so faded with age that it's difficult. But there is one that you both kind of focus on. It looks like it must be on some sort of lakeshore, maybe Lake Baratok even. And it was a portrait of you can't quite make out the features anymore, but it was very clearly a man and a woman. Posing next to this lakeshore, the woman is seated in a chair put there for purposes of the portrait, and the man standing over with a hand on her shoulder. But the features you cannot quite make out yet.
He'll be in the study, diligently working to make sure everyone in the city is living their best.
And he, Devin, leads you to a set of double doors, and he goes almost, like, instinctively to grab onto the handles, and he reaches out his hands, and you see him freeze for a moment, and kind of turn his head to the side, and again, get that screwy look on his face.
The master will see you now.
And he just floats through the door.
I grab onto it and try and pull it open.
Yeah, this one comes open much easier. Making your way in, it's a beautiful sort of study. The walls are lined with bookshelves and maps, both of the valley and of faraway, and what may have once been faraway places. And sat in a high-backed armchair, the armrests of which both have sort of a wooden lion's head carved into the sort of handholds, sits another spectral figure. And Devin kind of floats forward and says, "Master, can you believe it? Visitors, after all this time, really, we must celebrate."
"Wonderful news indeed. Thank you, Devin. You may go."
"Oh, how splendid. The master will see you. I shall make myself busy about the place, preparing accommodations for you all. Oh, perhaps a nice snack. You seem you could all use a bit of belly stuffing after your long journeys, I'm sure. Oh, and have visitors again."
And he kind of like starts floating off down
"To have visitors again, how wonderful."
And this other sort of spectral figure floats up out of the armchair, like up over the high back, and then kind of floats back down and comes to rest before you all.
"So it's come at last. Have you come to send me on to what's next? Rid me of this cursed existence? I won't fight. Do what you must."
"Oh, no, that's not really what we had planned, but we're looking for the witch."
"The witch? Oh, yes. I know of whom you speak. She played a part in my tale. A tale of misery and woe. Would you hear it?"
"Yes, please."
"Would you hear the story of a man's folly and a city's ruin?"
"Yeah."
"Perhaps it would be good to state it. Just once. Perhaps then I could rest."
"If it is a curse that holds you here."
"No, no curse. This is mine doing and my own doing alone. This city, this ruin, is all my fault. Come, sit, and all will be revealed."
Broadcast features Campbell O'Hare as Winnie, Kay Devine Jones as Kaz, Ned Iannacone as Drogar, Tyler Cantor as Olaf, and me, Trevor William Fail, as your DM. A patron! A patron! My kingdom for a patron! Special shoutouts to our newest patrons, Kristen Abisher and Cedar the Barefoot. Welcome to the party. The letter you heard Drogar read in the cold open of this episode was written and sent to us by one of our longtime patrons, DM by Choice. They were one of the first players in The Past Adventures of Drogar, a play-by-post adventure run by Ned in our patron Discord, where they portrayed Elias, Cleric of Helm. Thanks, DM by Choice, for your stirring words and all your support. Take your day with advantage. If you're not ready to support us financially, there are still plenty of ways to help us out. You can follow us on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram at CriticalFailDM, binge Madness and Mercy on our YouTube channel, and join us there every other Sunday at noon Eastern Standard Time when we do live listens of new episodes of the Strahdcast. Or rate and leave us a review wherever you like to listen. Thanks, Dungeoneers, and take your day with advantage.